Welcome to the Mary Gostolo Girl Ahead podcast, the weekly unique insight into luxury hospitality around the world by those who know it best. Brought to you by JetX, the world's favorite private aviation company.
Where does hospitality, where does travel fit in with today's technology? And tomorrow's technology will be completely different. Well, the best person to ask is Matthew Upchurch. He always has views. The boss of Virtuoso leads the way in our entire industry, and I'm sure he's going to have something to say. Let's chat with him now. Matthew, what's on your mind right now?
Oh my gosh, Mary, lots of things, but you know, one of the things that's on my mind, I started talking about earlier in the year in February when I had the pleasure of doing the keynote, one of the keynotes at the Forbes Travel Summit, knowing that there were a lot of asset managers in the audience, which is not normally my audience. And I remember doing a talk about the economics of human connection. And basically utilizing the incredible success of the transformation of the travel agent into the trusted travel advisor as real economic proof that human connection is not some touchy-feely, you know, feel-good slogan, but real hardcore business. And in fact, you know, as everybody keeps wondering right now about, you know, if and when or when this, you know, ADR bubble will burst or not, right? given the pent-up demand and the ADRs we're seeing and the demand, et cetera. I don't know. I mean, I remember coming out of the pandemic and thinking, for sure, we have at least a year that we'll have that pent-up demand. And I thought it could be up to 5 years, depending on the external circumstances, you know, the marketplace, et cetera. It is absolutely amazing to see all the geopolitical things going on, the market uncertainties, and yet to see travel continue to be still one of the more buoyant areas. Obviously, we're seeing a little bit more softness in the, you know, in the contemporary or mass market than we are in the luxury sector.
Yeah, but actually, Matthew, this is the sector that I think is going to be listening to us. And by the way, we're now up to 70,000 people. And so it's this segment and pent-up demand. Now, 5 years is not yet up, but are you now envisaging it going past 5 years?
Yeah, it's not quite up. And I think, I do think that there's an inherent shift that has happened with every major disruption that has happened in our lifetimes. And if you really think about the beginning of modern day luxury travel, you know, it really began in the golden jet age after World War II. But if you go back and you look at a lot of the major disruptions, I think the intrinsic value of travel has only gotten stronger. And I think that the value of it for connection with families, for, you know, mental health and welfare and things like that is there. But I will say that I do think that what's going to happen is that those properties and those players that really understand the value of human connection, or as I like to put it, the how did you make me feel business, they're the ones that are going to be able to maintain the pricing power that the luxury customer is willing to pay for. And I think that the way they engage and invest in their employees, the cultures that they have will be something that you could really feel at the customer level. And I think those organizations and employers that do that are going to quite frankly, much better. I don't think the bubble is going to burst, you know, all at once. I think those that have kind of shortcutting their way will be the first to fall, and the others will maintain a longer runway as to how long they do that. Now, the other thing that's interesting, obviously, it was basically a year coming next month in December. I'll never forget it because I was in New York at an award ceremony with my family, and that was the announcement of OpenAI, right? The very first one of our board members, literally within 24 hours, he was on the preview selection of people that got to preview it. And when he was no longer under NDA, I remember him showing me the literally the first ChatGPT, stuff at the Carlisle. We were staying at the Carlisle in New York, and it was pretty mind-blowing. But what that's also going to do is I think that part of the reason that the trusted travel advisor, and quite frankly, the trusted advisor in every life of any high net worth individual, is becoming more important, not less important. Because there's a gentleman that I, one of the gentlemen that I follow, one of the experts that I follow on AIs, name is Shelley Palmer. Quite embarrassing. I thought for a long time, I thought it was a lady until I had to quote him in a speech and I had to look him up and oh my gosh, I'm getting
oh my gosh.
But Shelley Palmer, very interesting AI commentary, the expert, and he called it ushering in the age of distrust. And what's interesting about that is he said something that I know that based on what we see on the news and everything else, you would think that it's like couldn't be further from the truth. But the reality is that human beings, the species, is actually wired for trust. The only reason the human species exists is because we're social animals and we're collaborative. And so despite all the things and that we hear, and et cetera, we're actually physiologically, biologically, psychologically wired for collaboration and for trust. The human mind, the human soul wants to trust. But what's interesting is, like, for example, I can't wait to use it in a talk. The new Google Pixel ads that are all over TV right now, where you take a photo and somebody is frowning and somebody's looking away, and all you do is just, it pulls up different faces and you can replace your face. I mean, it's like, it's so unbelievable because it basically is showing in the mainstream media how pretty much nothing you can see, nothing you can hear, and nothing you can read, you can actually believe. Because you really don't know what it is, right? And therefore, the need to have somebody that's got your back, the need to have people that have strong relationships is going to be there. So I think it's interesting that in the age of this trust, the value of human connection, the value of trusted relationships, the value of wisdom, right, is going to be even more pronounced than it's ever been. The other thing that I think is interesting about all this is that I'm working with a friend of mine in the UK that has actually just changed the name of his company to the Empowered. The dream company or something like that. I can't remember, but basically it's about employee engagement. I want to go back to that whole thing because I've never lent my name to anything that other than a nonprofit, and this is a for-profit company. But the reason that I'm so enamored with what his name is, Stefan Wiesenbach, and he has a company called Empowered and is doing a lot of work in hospitality. And what I love about what he showed me is after 40 some odd years of being somebody who generates demand, meaning helping people, sending people to properties and sending people on amazing holidays and vacations and so on, I love the idea of closing the circle of my career. And I had an epiphany when I was meeting with him, and I said, if we could make the people delivering the experience as fulfilled as those having the experience, that would be the ultimate outcome. And so the idea that organizations can really double down on how to make their employees, their team members, you know, fulfilled and happy and so on and so forth, I think is a very big, big thing. And in an age of constant commoditization pressures, I think the only thing that maintains a margin, right? The only thing that makes people want to pay for something is how did it make them feel?
This is fascinating, if I can interrupt for just a second.
Yes.
This fulfillment actually applies to every stage of the travel experience. Checking in for a flight, the flight itself, the disembarkation of the flight, the transport to one's hotel, the hotel or resort, the fulfillment that we are not seeing enough of in the hospitality sector, and then the person who has advised our traveler friend to do this journey in the first place.
Yeah.
Surely it's easier, isn't it, for a travel advisor to feel fulfilled because it's a one-to-one relationship. Somebody working in a hotel or an airline is interacting with lots of people at the same time. Yes, perhaps we could say that a hotel butler can feel fulfilled, but isn't it difficult for a really key member of a hotel, a housekeeper who makes the beds, to feel fulfilled?
You know, that's a very good question, and I love your questions because it immediately brings them. So one of my favorite leaders in hospitality is Alan Furstman, and I'll never forget having a little small get-together with maybe 20 people where Alan just sat there on a high chair and basically told us a bit about his career. And I would say to you that, no, I don't think it is impossible. I think it's a culture thing. Peter Drucker, the famous management person, said, you know, culture eats strategy for lunch or for breakfast or for dinner. And I'll never forget Alan telling us that the single most impactful job he had as he was coming up the ranks in his hospitality career was being in charge of housekeeping, where English was a second language or hardly spoken. And he said, what I learned about communication, leading housekeepers for whom English was either nearly non-existent or very, very, you know, very basic, was probably the single most important thing that I, growth of skill sets in dealing with human beings I ever had. So I think sometimes we forget that, you know, the words that come out of our mouths and all that are just a fraction of what real communication is all about. So no, I don't think it's impossible. And I remember, I mean, if you look at the success of Montage and individuals, I'll give you another example of this. At a different scale, as far as a single property, Atlantis the Royal, where we're going to have our symposium next year. I was there for the reveal. Tom Rollins is one of those magical GMs. And, you know, you need a GM today that can infuse even a property as large and as sophisticated and as opulent as Atlantis the Royal. You can feel when you've got a leader that creates that kind of a environment. And, I've said this to a lot of hospitality CEOs and senior executives. I said, you know, you used to have, you know, back in the 50s and 60s or whatever, you used to have what I used to call the imperial GM. You know, they would come out for the movie stars and the heads of state and all that, but they were really kind of this untouchable kind of thing, whatever. But then I could sit here and tell you that those properties that have those GMs that really know how to create, you know, a feeling both with their team members and as well as with their guests. They're remarkable. And sometimes when the job of a GM, I've always said to them, if you can't find somebody, it's almost like front stage, backstage, right? It's almost like going to a West End to watch a play. I mean, they're the actors or whatever. I mean, you know, and I if you have somebody that truly can do both, all the technical work, et cetera, and the front of house, cultural piece, et cetera, then pay them more. But if you can't find somebody, don't shortcut and don't underestimate the value of the front of house feeling, because that's where you're going to maintain that's where you're going to maintain your position. So now that's a good segue, Barry, into a new concept. I actually read it off of one of my favorite, you know, I follow a lot of people, read a lot, but one of my favorites is Seth Godin, and he had a newsletter, a daily newsletter, and he talked about the concept of emotional labor.